So we continue our exploration of Surya Savitri hymns. There will be two more of To Savitar from Book 7 by Vasishtha, very significant two hymns, and then there will be only three hymns to Surya of Kutsan, Girasa and others. So there are nine hymns to Savitar and three hymns to Surya in the whole Rig Veda. So we will start with this minute of silence. So it sounds something like this. Udushya devah savitayayam hiranyayim amatim yam ashishret nunam bhago haviyo manushebhir viyo ratna puruvasur dadhati udutishtha savitah shruddhiyasya hiranyapani prabhartao ritasya viurvim prithvim amatim srijana anribhyo martabhojanam suvana api shtutah savita devo astu yam achit vishve vasavo grenanti sanastoman namasiyas chanodat vishve bhiv patu payubhih nisurin. Abhi yam devi aditir grenati savam devasya savitur jushana abhi samrajo varuno grenanti abhi mitraso aryama sajosha abhi yemitho vanushach sapante ratindivo ratishacha v prithivyach ahir budhniya utanah shrunotu varutri ekadhenubhir nipatu anutanno anutanno jaspatir mansishta ratnam devasya savituri yanah bhagam ugro avase johaviti bhagam anugro adhayati ratnam Shamno bhavantu vajino haveshu devatata mitadravah suarkah jambhayanto ahim vrikam rakshansi sanemi asmad yuyavan amivah vaje vaje avatavajinono dhaneshu vipra amritarita jnyah Asya madhvav pibata madayadvam treptayata pathibhir devayanaih. Udu shyadevah savitayayam hiranyayim amatim yam ashishret nunam bhago haviyo manushebhir viyo ratna puruvasur dadhati. Up the god Savitar has extended his golden splendor, which he made to shine in heaven, or which he fixed in heaven to shine. Now Bhaga is to be invoked by man, distributing riches all over, abounding in riches. Yes. Vyoratnani dadhati puruvasuk, the one who has many riches, distributing all, abounding in riches. Once the golden form of Savitar is fixed in the mental heaven of man, that's what it means, fixed in heaven. Actually, there is no even heaven here. Yes, Bhaga is to be invoked to distribute riches all over, who has many riches of the transcendental Ananda. Now, Bhaga is another aspect which Savitar brings in, as we saw it from the root Savitar, from root Su, to distill the delight from the transcendental and to introduce it into this manifestation. So once the light of Savitar is established, fixed ashish, the shining, the bhaga is to be introduced. So bhaga is next aspect of that savitar. Once the golden consciousness of savitar has reached its highest top, penetrating all with its light of knowledge and power, fixing all in his light, it opens up to the delight of bhaga to act in this manifestation. Nunam bhago haviyo manushebhih. That's why it says, and now bhaga is to be invoked, called by man, who distributes ratnani dadhati, who establishes the wealth. Puruvasur, the one who has many riches. The one who has many riches now will distribute his wealth, because the Savitar has fixed his light. Now, this relation of knowledge and delight. Delight will not come without knowledge being realized. So that's why even in the Gita you can see the three steps Yashubindra describes. Karma Khanda, Jnana Khanda and Bhakti Khanda. He says the first step is Karma Yoga. The effort is to be made to realize knowledge. Once the Jnana Karma is achieved, the self-realization is achieved, the knowledge, the light of knowledge is established, Bhakti becomes possible. The delight comes from that realization. And not before. Actually only Maruts and Rudra have this claim by their violence, by their demand of delight, they bring into the motion the light of knowledge. Otherwise, there is always an order in things. Knowledge is to precede the power, so to say. The bull is to stay in front of the horse, as the Veda says. The bull is to be first. The knowledge, the light of knowledge, is to bring power into right movement. If knowledge is not there, the power can stumble, you know, and may not realize the delight, because the delight depends on power. So it's only Rudra who has that enlightened power. Yes, he can claim by the delight the light of knowledge. Otherwise, there is a procedure. The Vedic procedure is light of knowledge precedes the power. And power follows the knowledge, and delight is automatically there. So once this light of knowledge is fixed by Savitar in the heaven of man, then bhaga is to be invoked. The delight, the transcendental ananda, has its place in this play. Udutishtha savitah shrudhiyasya hiranyapani prabhritau retasya viurvim prithvim amatim srijana anribhyo martabhojanam suvana. Rise, O Savitar, hear the word of this, O golden-handed, at the offering, at the bringing forward of ritam, casting out from within yourself a profound wide splendor, urging and sending forth the enjoyment which mortals have here as the heroic souls engaged in sacrificial work in this manifestation. Now if we go word by word, it's quite interesting. Udutishtha, stand up, Savitar, O Savitar, Shruddhi Asya, and hear of this our word, our hymn, our invocation. Hiranyapane, O you who has golden hands, pani, yes, it's in vocative case, hiranyapani, prabhritau ritasya, at the beginning or at the outburst of the dynamic truth. In the beginning or outburst of the dynamic truth, you hear this word and get up, stand up, O luminous God. Viurvim prithvim amatim srijana. Vi urvim prithvim amatim srijana, the one srijana, Savitar, who throws out, creates the vast urvim, prithvim, the vast vastness, the vast earth, the vast Prithvi is also earth, but it is not really here always earth in the Veda, because it's from Prithvu, from Prat, to expand. She is vast. So also vastness is she. So this vastness of earth, Amatim is the power, Sarijana, creating this power of the vast earth, widely creating, Visrajana, diffusing, so opening up, Anribhyo Marta Bhojanam Suvana, distilling the enjoyment for the mortals, Nribhyah, for the souls engaged in manifestation, distilling the enjoyment, mortal enjoyment, a mortal's enjoyment, enjoyment which mortal beings have in this manifestation. And it's quite interesting that this enjoyment is the most attractive thing for all the gods and godheads and asuras. To be in this manifestation means to have a chance to realize something which they do not have in their type of worlds. In their type of worlds, they cannot have that enjoyment which we have here. This Marta Bhojanam is a very special term in the Veda. It is used many times. So if we look into it more carefully, we will find that Marta Bhojana is a very rare enjoyment. That's what I'm writing here. Which it can be interpreted in that sense, that widening of the material foundation is bringing this enjoyment in the mortal state, which we know already what it means. It means something very special, and if we kind of ponder upon it a little longer, we will see how other texts look at this Marta Bhojanam. It's not the enjoyment of the mortals, in a sense as we understand it now, yes? Mortal enjoyment. There's something more in it. Mortality itself is seen in the Veda differently, as a very unique state of being. Unique in a sense that every state, every moment of time here is unique and will never be repeated again. And in that sense, if you remember what Achilles said to in his speech to explaining to his brother, he said, you think gods envy us, because what we here have in this material manifestation is unique. They can't have it. They're type of beings. They know their characters, they know what they cannot lose it, they cannot change it. And that's what Sri Aurobindo says in a very strange manner. He says, even great gods, if they want to have some change, they must take a human form and come to physical embodiment, because only here, in earthly atmosphere, in this prithvi, this wide foundation, any change can be undertaken. Otherwise, it's impossible to change there. You stay what you are, and you are immortal in your type of way of being. But that is not really mortality. It's no mortality or amortality, whatever new word we can introduce. But immortality means something else, and that is what Veda is heading at. We will see now what is this Marta Bhojanam. Is this rare enjoyment which all the gods and asuras want to partake of, but do not want to be fully engaged, as Sri Aurobindo says, in the manifestation by taking a physical body, for it has some other obligations and responsibilities and difficulties. A hell of a difficulty here to carry this body, and we take on ourselves all the darkness at the same time. So they don't want that, but they want the enjoyment. That's why they partially possess man. Difficulty, it's difficult to bear even for them. So, you remember in the mother's story of creation, I have to all the time come back to the basics. She says when this first creation happened and all the four emanations turned to their opposites, she turned to the Supreme and he said, precipitated with another consciousness. So she looked inside herself, she found gods. And she showed them that abyss to which they had to plunge. And God said, no, 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 we are not going into that darkness. This is exactly that. They don't want to take that trouble. These type of beings, they do not have enough power. They will stay away from it. But then she found within herself another force of love. That's what we represent, psychic being. So, and that force of love plunged into the darkness, which was stronger than the first emanations. Now, we have two types of creations, secondary creations. The force which plunged and carries it out, and the gods which are there somewhere hanging, helping it to rise. They didn't plunge fully. They're staying in their own kind of domain, type of domains, partially involved. And we need them because they help us to carry out this burden. Yes, what we have. So, but why they should be interested in Martha Bhojanam? What is Martha Bhojanam? It is the enjoyment which consists of the integral consciousness of Savitar. Udurvim prithvi mamatim srijana anribhyo Martha Bhojanam sovana. It has both in itself, the higher and the lower, knowledge and ignorance. And therefore it is unique and can't be compared to any other enjoyment. For the oneness, together with distinct differences, is a rare enjoyment. Now, this is what Mother explains, why he at all created this world, because he, so to say, the experience of unity rather than that of identity. He has himself an identity, but he wanted to experience his joy of himself in unity, discovering differences, the details of his richness. So that enjoyment is only possible in the state of mortality. It's never possible in that state of type of being. So that's why Martha Bhojanam is something the most attracting of all these great godheads. And that's why they are engaged with man. That's why the sacrifice is possible. They are invited to the sacrifice which man is doing. He shares with them that partial Martha Bhojanam, that they will have a glimpse of the Supreme because they are not the Supreme. And they want to have a glimpse of the Supreme enjoyment. It was the hook for them made in such a way that so they will come to the sacrifice. Otherwise they would never come if there would be no soma for them to partake of. That's the soma sacrifice is a symbol of in the Rig Veda. Makes sense, no? Apishtutah savita devo astu yam acid vishve vasavo grenanti nasa stoman Namasiyas chanodhat vishvebhiv patu payubhih nisurin. May Savitar be the God when affirmed in our consciousness. May Savitar be the God when affirmed in our consciousness, whom all the luminous dwellers within call upon. Luminous dwellers within, these are we, yeah? Vasavah. Those who are dwelling within the substance. May he, worthy of surrendering to Namasya, rejoice with our affirmations. Sanah stoman chanodhat, protecting our innermost luminous selves, ni surin, ni deeply luminous suns, with He's protecting all fulfilling powers. Vishvebhiv patu payubhih nisuri. It's the psychic being is calling for the lordship of its own. This is the supreme individual. which has to become the supreme in the universal sense. And Savitar is that supreme in the universal sense, which gives it its power to be universal. Now it's individual. It's deeply involved individual, but then it has a moment of becoming something more than that. And still there is a division on two, yes? To whom we have to, Namasiyah, he is the one to whom we have to surrender, worthy of surrendering to. He is to be affirmed within these luminous beings, yes? And when he is affirmed, apishtutah, Savita, devo astu, be the God. So to say, when you are affirmed in us, then you become the luminous being in us. Well, I think these are such a profound universal truths which have the vastest possible interpretation, embracing all possible interpretations within it. And when Savitar is firmly established, I try it differently to say, in us, then he should be our God, whom all those who dwell here in the physical body call upon. For he is Vasupati, the Lord of all the luminous dwellers in the substance. We are Vasavah, and he is Vasupati, the Lord of Vasu. May he rejoice with our affirmations and with all his protecting, fulfilling powers, protect or fulfill our luminous beings. Now, our luminous beings require certain protection and growth and care, and they are not by themselves. They need the universal Godhead to bring soma to them, for them to grow. And it is him who will be distilling that delight as Bhaga for them to grow. It is the affirmation of Savitar in the consciousness of man which is the way to his guidance and protection on the path to immortality. Now, immortality I understand differently than typal not dying state. It's immortality of Savitar, of the Lord. Always unique, always fresh, always new. It is that type of consciousness, which is not the same as we understand it, not dying. But he should rejoice, and he should rejoice in such affirmations, which means it should be true in his eyes. Means that affirmation cannot be just artificial, that I, you know, affirm you and that's why you are not here. No, it has to be true affirmation of him. That means the sincerity aspect of the psychic has to be there. Without it, nothing, no affirmation will be possible. Then only he will fully manifest himself in all his powers, giving full protection and guidance to man, who thus become his own shining beings. The beings of the sun, Surin. Because we are the portions of that sun. We are Amsha of Savitar, coming from the supramental world, that middle part, Amsha, the portion of that light. Abhiyam Devi Aditir Granati Savam Devasya Savitur Jushana Abhi Samrajo Varno Granati Abhi Mitraso Aryamasa Josha. Whom even the Divine Mother Aditi invokes and praises, rejoicing in the movement of creation of God Savitar. Whom even sovereign kings invoke and praise, Varuna, Mitra, with other godheads, and Aryaman in one rejoicing spirit, Sajosha. Now, it's important that we shift to the mother suddenly, from Savitar, who is the Lord, suddenly Aditi is mentioned, Devi. Abhiyam, and whom Devi Granati, she is calling, so to say, praising him and calling and singing to him, or about him. She is a singer, so to say. She is Gri, she is, with her voice, she is singing around him, the goddess Aditi, the Infinite Mother. Savam Devasya Savitur Jushana, happy of his distilling the delight. Yes? Savam, on his creation, she is rejoicing. Now, they have a very special relations, the Divine Mother and the Lord. So she will bring into the motion, and you will see whom. Abhisam Rajo Varuno Grenanti, Abhimitrasor Yamasa Joshach, and about whom the sovereign Varuna, the Mitras and Aryama, happy together, rejoicing. So they are all singing to him. And these are Adityas. These are the sons of Aditi, her powers, by which she manifests him here, the Lord. The Divine Mother, Infinite Consciousness, Aditi, is enjoying this movement of Savitar, manifesting the Divine, praising him and approving his movement, so to say. Jushana can be translated happy and also agreeing, accepting, welcoming. So it is she who is actually manifesting the manifestation, but there is a movement of the Lord in it, which she is welcoming, happy with, and accepting, and giving it another dimension, because all her children, Varuna, Mitra, Aryaman, Bhaga, they are all happily together, rejoicing in this movement of extraction of the delight. So, Satchit, Ananda, and Vijnana, they are all in this movement, supporting this movement, power, consciousness, being, and delight. All of them, these great Godheads, these sovereigns, they are supporting this movement of the Lord, because the Divine Mother is happy with this movement. Abhiye mitho vanushach sapante ratim divo ratishachav prathivyach ahir buddhniya utanav shrinotu varutri ekadhenubhir nipatu. Those who are full of energy, vanushach, approach us together with love and light. Mithach vanushach sapante. Abhiye mitho vanushach sapante, bestowing gifts from heaven and from earth. Divo, ratim divach, rati shachav prithivyach. Now, prithivi is seen in an interesting manner. It's not that prithivi as we understand it. It is that vastness, material vastness, which is supporting this creation. It is seen in still in that virgin sense, in that first glimpse from above. Prithivi has another view. It's not the same thing which we see from here when we are crawling up from mud to become a man. It's another view, it's an involutionary view, seeing Prithivi as an opportunity to manifest the Divine. May they hear us, these full of energy Godheads, and the snake or the python at the bottom. Also, may the protecting mother guard us with her sons. Now, why suddenly snake or the python at the bottom of the inconscient is invoked?
Yeah? Also, in the first, before, there's a movement, and somehow you say the development and the, also the snake as the same symbol from chaining is such prominent here. It's not so static.
Oh, that is never static. This is something which you can't really... Yes. Veda is never static. This is what, how Veda is different from any other post-Vedic literature, which is much more metaphysical, static, and conceptual, and whatever. Veda is always in this movement of some kind. Why it is invoked, yes? The word ekadhenu is bahuvrihi compound, which in plural means they who have one cow for all. These are the Godheads. Yes, that means it is clearly indicating the Adityas, who have Aditi as their mother, symbolized by a cow. So ekadhenu bhih. They are ekadhenu, who have one cup, one nourisher, one divine mother who is nourishing them. So Varutri, she who is protecting all, nipato, may she fill or fulfill fully us. It's a very interesting invocation because the snake, the python, was invoked. Now, when the light of Savitar is established in our being, we can be engaged with all the forces of this creation, for all of them are required to manifest the divine. We can engage with the divine luminous forces from above, bestowing luminous gifts, as it is mentioned in this hymn, from heaven and earth, and with the forces of the inconscient, the coiled python, yes, Ahi, at the bottom of things, Ahir Budhaniya. This is a particular term which is used for that, the lowest being in us, yeah? That Ahi who is at the foundation of the darkness. Budhaniya means in the foundation.
Also,
there were many questions about it. Maybe that is Kundalini, maybe that's what it means by Kundalini.
So there is a concept, the dragon of the foundation, so it's also relating to this other kind of sagas, he used the word dragon.
Yes.
The one who in nature has to evolve, this force which is pushing nature of all this.
Also possible interpretation, very possible.
Those who are full of energy, and that snake can represent energy in us, so we are that also.
Yeah, and the problem here is that etymologically Ahi is that from Amh root, means to narrow down. So it is the force which is narrowed down to the inconscient, where the density of darkness is such that you can't survive. Yeah, so that force was always seen as an enemy highest sense, and we have it in Christianity already, in that sense that, you know, Georgi is killing the python. You have always fight with a python. It is a normal thing. Python is different from snake, but it has this connotation of evolving force from the below, from the bottom of things. Yes, and it might be Kundalini Shakti also interpreted, but there is far from Kundalini. That's why Shobindu uses dragon. Dragon different from the Kundalini Shakti. Dragon which is quite a different creature. And Indra is killing that Ahi. This is Vritra, who is obstructing the movement of the heavenly waters. He takes all Soma into himself and not allowing it to manifest. That narrowness, that darkness is so dense that it does not permit any variation of light. Black hole, somebody was commenting on it. Deshpande said, it's like a black hole. Something like that. You don't need to take it as a black hole. It's like a joke. But in a way, the same concept. So, for now, the Divine Mother Aditi is protecting us totally. She is Varutri with her Adityas, Ekadhenubih, Ni patu, protect us deeply, ni, completely to the bottom. Take and protect us to the bottom. That's why what he says, here you, full of energy gods, and you, the snake, the python at the bottom, and you, Aditi, protect us with your sons deeply. Now, this is a call for transformation in my view. This is a work of a total transformation. If the inconscient is invoked, the universal sacrifice in the individual frame is taking place. Otherwise, I don't understand why the snake should hear the call. Usually, if in other places, when light of dawn is coming, Rishi says, please, you creatures of the dark sleep, don't wake up, because you will steal the light. But in this case, he says, you hear. That means wake up. Wake up to the call. That means Savitar has established already the power and light, and it is possible to transform.
I'm reminded that my mother has this, when she reads this, like a bottom. What does she say when she says at the bottom of the most inconscient, most hard and stifling, I cast upon an almighty spring which cast me forth into a luminous beyond, vibrating with the seeds of a new world. Mm-hmm. She says that first, but she at the bottom of it is inconscient. Yeah. It threw her up into the transcendent, mm-hmm. and this is vibrating with the seeds of a new world.
Mm. There is some puzzle about that. Bottom of darkness. Something is there waiting for us to be discovered. That's why we are in this trouble. We have to go there. We can't really be free from that.
But in the darkest of space, the tiniest of light illuminates so vastly that to call upon that depth of darkness actually shows the potential of the smallest brush of luminosity.
Mm. Interesting. Mm. Interesting perception that the darkness has to be so deep in order to appreciate and to freshly perceive what is really light. Mm. Yes. It's not a daylight where we are already bewildered by many different mixtures of light. Yeah. Mm. Yes, that's why the dawn, the greatest of them comes in the darkest night, you know, and appreciate it. Now, when the light of Savitar is established,
it also may mean that the snake is asked to be obedient to the light, that he hear the voice.
Yes.
His identity, but he may change if we talk to him softly.
Nice.
Politely. You know, our pet snake, Python.
It is a paraphrase of our enemy who can be.
But also, in the previous passage about the embodiment and the joy and the experience of being here, that, you know, those that are not embodied can't experience it. So to even evoke that whose belly is close to the earth to be brought forth so that even that can be experienced.
Because it is the mere perception of the oppositions which are compatible. Oppositions are cooperating. The negative process are not negative really. They exist as a component of an entire unity. So there's the sort of this, if there's a darkness at the bottom, a snake or a python, he's a necessary step of, we can say, our progress.
I think yesterday had been too interesting quotations in the Armenian net, and yesterday, today was then, yes, it is, not to go in the dark side of the sarana, to rule in the darkness and open to the light, and today it was, I think, that it is, you can work on it in darkness, but it's easier to go to let the intrusion from the light to come in. It's, they're very nice, always, this quotation. I think Mahavish is good in
it. We indicate that the darkest forces should be conquered by love, by positive forces. Conquered in the sense, transformed softly. So there's violence, but it is. Change into, we can say, surgery.
Plastic surgery.
That's
well, they do this plastic surgery in the Veda all the time. Indra kills all of them, one by one, destroys. And out of Vritra there is another emerges, yeah. Namuchi, Shushna, all those creatures which are destroying, trying to destroy, even stronger than Vritra, and he has to strike one after the other, all these creatures, because these are deformed movements of power without light. So long being without light, they do not know how to really behave themselves in this higher setting. So they will be, yes, fleshed out.
Yes, the love is the only power which can come, give the guidance. It's sind so stellen sie zu zeigen, dass eine Guidance hier oben ist.
Yes. So, and we will see what happens to this Ahi at the end, and with all these creatures, there will be one line to that. So how the negotiation will go in your particular proposal. Anutanno jaspatir mansishta ratnam devasya savituri yanah bhagam ugro avasejo haviti bhagam anugro adhayati ratnam. Make the Lord of those who are born in the body agree to this gift for us, seeking the wealth of the god Savitar. Tubhaga calls the strong for his growth. Tubhaga, also weak, goes in search of wealth. So Bhaga is wanted all the time. The delight is the only reason why we at all move, weak or strong or whatever, and always seeking that delight. Jaspati, what is interesting here, suddenly Jaspati is mentioned. Jaspati is the lord of those who are born here in the body, of Ja, yes, of this. He is the lord of the body, so to say, and he must agree with and allow this gift of Savitar to be accepted in his nature. Because he brought this gift, Rati, this luminous gift, this luminosity of himself into this darkness. Now, that's why this Jaspati is invoked, and look in what sense. Anu, tat, that, Jaspati mansishta, anuman, anumati, he should permit, allow, agree with that. Who? Jaspati. The one who holds the body, basically the lord of the nature, so to say, on this side of the fallen self, of the first creation, he has to agree with that light, Ratnam Devasya Savituri Yanah, of the Savitar, seeking the Ratnam of Lord Savitar, he must agree with that movement, or that call, or that gift which Savitar brings. If he doesn't agree with that, then nothing will happen. For without his acceptance, the transformation of nature cannot be fulfilled. And his agreement is crucial for the transformation to take place on the cosmic scale. It is like the fallen divine is to agree to rise and to change. Because there were two stages of creation. In the first stage, it was the divine. Now this Lord is to agree to change. By the way, what is interesting, there is parallel with the mother's story immediately, when she says that she got an agreement of nature to cooperate with a supramental descent. And it was a big victory when nature said, yes, I will cooperate. This is something of the kind. Only yes. Oh, the first creator. The first creator, that archaic one, had to agree for this change, because he is seeking the same light of the Lord, because he is himself fallen Lord. He wants to become what he is. But there is Ahi, and there are other creatures which were born or which are supporting the darkness in its own function, and they will be met now in the next line. Shamno bhavantu vajino haveshu devatata mitadravah suarkah jambhayanto ahim vrikam rakshansi sanemi asmad yuyavan amivah. May the divine powers bring us blissful peace. Shamno bhavanto, may they be sham for us. Shamno bhavanto vajinah, when we invoke them, haveshu, in our invocations, yes? Or in the invocations, which are manifesting the divine, this devatata, long arm has to be. Moving in a measured space, mitadravah, pace, sorry. They are moving softly, not very fast. They are running in a measured pace, and shining with the knowledge, suarkach, with the light. So may these forces, these possessors, lords of the luminous substance, in our gatherings, in our sacrifices, Haveshu, who are seeking the divine manifestation, Deva Tata, that's how Sri Aurobindo translates it.
Yeah, I would say that many times it was Deva Viti manifestation and Tati equals the building, as if this is already the stage of full realization of building, the manifestation is even prior.
Yes. This expansion, it's from Rutan.
Expansion after the manifestation.
Yes, those who are expanding the light of the divine, divine expanders, who are running soft in the measured pace, they take every bit of their being into account. They are not overlooking, they are not striking, they are refreshing the whole being, Suarkah, and they have perfect light. Jambhayantah, destroying, or how to put it, crushing. Ahim Vrikam Rakshansi, the python or the snake and the wolf and the rakshasas, may they completely separate us from the adversary. Sanemi, completely asmat from us, Yuyavan, separating Amivah, those adversary powers. Now, it seems there is no compromise between the two. There is no kind of makeup for the snake to join the movement for the python. And for, sorry to disappoint you. And, but that is not the snake which is on the earth. It is the snake which is below earth.
Harry Potter's snake.
No, no, no. Harry Potter didn't find that snake ever. That snake is much deeper than Harry Potter dealt with. Harry Potter dealt with some phantom of snake, but that snake is a real foundation of the inconscient Buddhaniya, the foundation of our, where there is no light, only power, no light of knowledge. That power without light of knowledge is a huge foundation for all this cosmos, that dark matter.
So we need light because that softness and at the same time the destruction of them, because we are involved with them, we are not fully separated from them. We are, so that's why it has to be solved, because otherwise everything is gone. That's what should not be.
Yes.
Because that's the process, not the difficulty, to keep the manifestation going without destroying it in the change.
Because we collect both worlds in ourselves. Get both to be together. And we mean it unites with some love. It's only possible to rest.
Yes.
Because first it says this, oh, this softness is emphasized and then the crushing is coming.
There is something to look into this. Because it is also separating the adversary powers from us. Yes, may they separate it from us. Today is a meeting, 5 o'clock on Rhodes. In a, that's why, for those who want to go for this meeting, resident assembly or some in town hall. Okay, Vajje, it's the last one. Vajje, Vajje, Avata, Vajje, Nonuch, Dhaneshu Vipram, Ritaritajnyach, Asya Madhvach, Pivata, Madaya, Dvam, Triptaya, Tapathibhir, Devayanaich. In every divine realization, Vajje, Vajje, increase us, Avata, or protect us, Avatanach. I would say rather increase or make us grow. Or divine powers, Vajinach, who have this luminous power. In the gaining of wealth, Dhaneshu, or immortal ecstatic noise of the dynamic truth. Vipra amrita retajnach. These are all vocatives, Dhaneshu, in the wealth, who are vipraha, who are trembling with ecstasy, amritaha, immortal, retajnaha, knowing their dynamic truth. Asya madvach pibata, drink of this honey, get intoxicated, madayadvam, and having become satisfied by it, tripta, move on by the paths of the gods. Yata pathi bhir deva yanai. Well, if you read other translations of the Western scholars, that's simply a feast of the chief of the village who are getting drunk, and finally they can really go by the divine ways, you know, singing their songs and rejoicing. But what poor Western scholars could imagine else? No? That's the only thing they knew, that you can get drunk and be happy. And in every such movement of the divine conquest, vaje, vaje, because it's also a conquest, conquest by the light of the substance, of the power. This is luminous substance, vaja. We kind of spend quite a long time on this vajas, ojas from here, yes? That ojas which is transformed already by the light. Increase our being, avatanah. And in the realization of the spiritual wealth, manifestation of the spirit in matter, you, the powers of the divine conquest, increase our possessions.
What is this being?
It is that thing which is.
Oh. It's big enough.
It's a big thing and small thing, and every minutest and the biggest. So this is the end of the hymn. A very luminous, very provoking. There's nothing you can hang on with your mind trying to figure out things and to put into your pocket. You will have to dwell on it again and again, invoking again and again these words, seeing how they change your perception, and they change your perception fundamentally. You every time feel that you are stepping into some other space of yourself, and you just wonder, is it real? Is it possible that it works like this? And it works exactly this way, as how Veda was conceived, to transform our subtle nature into more luminous and more perceptive of other realities which are behind. Nothing is temporarily here. No cultural phenomenon mentioned. Nothing. Nothing which you can say that this was at that time something. You don't have one word. Sometimes there are a few words here and there, you know, which are a part of that culture, but mainly it's always that kind of vast, universal perception. So, we will have still one more hymn of Vasishtha to Savitar, and then we will have three hymns to Surya, which are amazing. Now, if Savitar is that power which manifests the divine, the Lord in making, so to say. In the making, yes, we say. Auroville in the making or something. He is the Lord in the making. Then Surya is already a manifestation of the supramental. And you will see the difference when Surya is invoked, what happens. And we will compare Surya hymns to Savitar. Savitar is more dynamically dealing with night, transforming it, and so on and so forth. Surya has already no problem with the night, and there is only a luminosity and manifestation of some other quality about which we all only dream, about which Sri Aurobindo and Mother were talking of supramental manifestation. So today we end on this note, with a minute of silence. You can imagine if this, all this knowledge will break through and suddenly will become alive in you. What it could do. And it is not mental, by the way. You can see that it is very using mentality in a particular way, not letting it overcome the imagery and the importance of psychological state, but using it. It's a very profound mental language at the same time. Yes, and it's rich. Mentally, this language is much richer than classical Sanskrit. No comparison. In the forms, in the grammatical forms, and in the flexibility, and in the concepts also. It's much richer. So how come that it is pre-mental? I just wonder. I wondered about this all the time. How come that this language is richer than the classical Sanskrit, and it is considered to be barbaric, so to say, coming from some barbaric past where we were not developed enough to really clarify the concepts?
Maybe it is closer to the direct truth. The forms which are used, they are more direct and developed in our mentality, some special device which can perceive this kind of ideas. Because later it becomes more mental. And I don't see so it comes from barbaric.
I also thought, I had even one theory that Veda is coming from another Manvantara, and in that Manvantara all the stages up to mental were already worked out. So there was an integral view or glimpse on it. How to bring this integral view ahead again into another Manvantara. It's like a task for the soul to fulfill it. So what we are basically realizing that vision of consciousness which was projected at the beginning of time by us, by our souls, which we don't remember anymore, but we can't think otherwise only in these terms, because it's our task for this Manvantara. But it has already somewhere integral nature. Integral because it was repeated many times, it went through many cycles before. Yes.
Yes. Means the classes we are shown says it was, of course it was an isolated thing, but it was something as to say this is how the future will be, that's what she says. Mm. And she says it was impossible at that time to be fully realized when they reconnect to it. But she says literally it is that the future will be.
Right, consciousness.
The consciousness forces in it, and that's different. It's not just on the level. But the thing is to understand this amount of money, the special effort has to be made, and very special effort. And this is what I'm thinking, that development in our mind, a special device or space or something which can perceive this.
Actually, yes, this text is giving you that device. It is building within you. If you dwell on it, it gives you, as Savitri, mother says about Savitri, that if you don't understand, don't worry, it will bring you the possibility to understand with itself. Slowly it will develop your instrument and give you the perception. It's much truer without translation, by the way. All these clumsy ways of approaching it is just an attempt to at all touch something of that matter. And we do not have, at least we do not have that language developed. Sri Aurobindo did a great shift in that. He translated many hymns. And his imagery he is using in Savitri, by the way, very fundamentally. If we trace back all his imagery, we will see how Vedic Savitri is. And that makes it so universal and so appealing.
Is there a place to learn this, to learn Sanskrit?
Yes, yes.
But not now. I mean,
not when? Today. Tomorrow you come.
Okay. In this world, you
There's already a list.
It's already, I happen to leave. I've been here a year and a half.
All right.
I was thinking that you can tell you if you want, because it seems our group still doesn't want to start yet, because Margaret was telling me we wait until this December is over. I wanted to start actually in the beginning of December. I wanted to tell you if we can do something.
This is a great investment into your life, by the way, such learning. Learning language is the greatest you can do to yourself. Not other things, not sciences, no, but language. And this particular language.
We had also yesterday in the mother's talks, and Tritya, she said about, like you have to train your muscles to walk, you have to train your muscles in your mind.